And that should just about be that. Okay. So welcome each and everyone who's come online this evening. Sister Roseanne, good to see you there. God bless you richly. But a couple of weeks we were away. We went away with the young people for a weekend and had some other different things taking place. And while we were away with the young ones, we got some really good ideas, got some feedback. And one of the things was the topic which you wanted to maybe start looking at this evening. So we wanted to start looking, by the grace of God, at this one of digital warfare. You know, the age that we're living in, the challenges that we faced up to in this age. As we're speaking a little bit at church about the evolving battlefield. You know, the battlefield changes over time. So we've got to keep our armor up to date. We've got to keep ourselves ready in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to overcome whatever way that the challenges in this life come. So I'll just put on some slides here just to show what we're wanting maybe just to have a look at. So our thought today is digital warfare. But I thought maybe we needed just to do a little bit of a foundation today and speak about the power of inspiration, maybe the importance of inspiration. I think maybe it'll just help us to be able to maybe handle this particular topic in maybe the way that it should be handled. I know there's different ways we can look at things. You can look at computer games from one extreme to another. You can have a look at all the different things of this age, and you can go from one extreme to another. And I'm sure every one of us, if we are asked to give our opinion about should somebody play this or shouldn't they play that, we'll have a lot of different ideas, a lot of different opinions. So I thought maybe we could just go one step back from that, go down a little bit, and we have a look at the principle of inspiration. So to do that, let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, just as our scripture. And may the Lord help us to just go into this topic. May this just open the door for us so that we have the right kind of an approach, the right kind of an understanding right from the beginning in this particular kind of a topic. Because obviously these topics are really diverse. I mean, they're huge topics. They cover so much ground that it needs the grace of God for us to be able to be of benefit to one another in this, which is our desire. So 2 Peter 1 verse 20. Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter is here speaking about inspiration, how the Holy Ghost inspired the prophets, the holy men of old, the apostles, Paul and them, and they were moved, he says, by the Holy Ghost. Now, so they were so inspired, they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and that brought forth this inspiration of the Word of God. Let's just pray before we approach any further. Father, we do acknowledge to thee once again just the greatness of our need, approaching such a thought, approaching such a topic. Father, it just needs you to lead and guide. And that's what we desire, that you'd help us now to forget about ourselves, the busyness of the day, all the other things of this life, and just for a little season to set our souls towards you, to seek for your wisdom, to seek for your leadership, to seek for light upon our path, that we may know better how to walk in this generation is our desire. Father, with all of this technology and all the things that surround us, Lord, we desire to walk with you. We desire that you would equip us, that, Lord, you'd help us to know our enemy, to know our weapons, and, Lord, to be fully equipped the way you desire us to be, no matter what it is, no matter what time or day or age or circumstance, Father, just to be more than conquerors in you. So may you bless your word, bless your people that have gathered this evening, bless anybody that should watch this down the way we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So saints, before we get on to the real topic of digital warfare, thought maybe just to have a look at this beginning thought. So we're looking at the power of inspiration. What is inspiration? And to see the power and the importance of inspiration. And I think by looking at this, understanding how powerful inspiration is and understanding, you know, the aim and the mind behind the inspiration. It may help us then, if the Lord gives us a spirit of discernment, to be better equipped to face up to all of these inspirations, all of these things that are around us. So the first thing we need to see, the first ground rule, is that there are two sources of inspiration. Now, there's only two sources of inspiration. This inspiration may come in a myriad of forms. There may be inspiration in video games, inspiration in music, inspiration in any kind of media, films, books, entertainment, whatever you're thinking about. There's an inspiration behind things, but there's two sources of inspiration, just as much as there's light and there's darkness. And obviously the two sources, this is God and this is Satan. This is the battle that started before the foundation of the world. These two powers, these two inspirations that we find ourselves that fall upon each age and try to inspire each age. And we could take these two sources of inspiration as life and death. You know, we'll see one inspiration wants to lead you to life. The other one wants to lead you to death. Because inspiration comes to take you to a destination. So whenever an inspiration comes, it's trying to lead you somewhere. If there's an inspiration, if something comes to inspire you, there's a reason that that inspiration came. It's to inspire you for something. You know, it's trying to take you to a certain place. It aims to bring you to a destination. If the Holy Ghost comes inside of your life to inspire you, you know, that visitation of the Holy Ghost, there's an objective, there's an aim behind that inspiration. The Lord wants to visit you and he wants to take you to a certain place. He wants to move you from where you are and bring you to another place. So the right inspiration, obviously, is going to take you to the right destination. It's going to take you to the right place. That's going to take you to the tree of life. The right inspiration, the Holy Ghost, is always going to bring you to Jesus. It's going to bring you to redemption. It's going to bring you to salvation. It's going to bring you to the presence of God. It's going to bring you to Zoe life, you know, the life of God itself. It's going to bring you into his presence. So the anointing, the inspiration of the Holy Ghost wants to take you deeper and deeper in Christ. That's what he wants to do. He, you know, if you bring him as the symbol in the garden of the tree of life, now the inspiration, the unction, the cherubim that came forth, they come now to usher us, to bring us back to the tree of life. That's what this correct, the real anointing, the real inspiration is to bring us to the right place. And he always wants to do that, to bring us into that place where we meet him, because to know him is life. So the anointing, the real inspiration of God always wants to bring us to the place that we focus and know the things that we need to know. You know, he doesn't play around. He doesn't take us on foolish things. He doesn't get us to waste our time and stuff. You know, the Lord knows exactly what you need. He knows what you need inside of your life. So the right inspiration is going to bring you to the right place every single time. It'll never fail. But the wrong inspiration is obviously going to do the opposite. The wrong inspiration, as we'll see, as in Eden, will take you away from the tree of life. It'll entice you with the tree of knowledge and you know, it will offer you all these kind of things. But the aim, the motive, the objective behind the wrong inspiration is to move you away from the tree of life, is to bring you to the wrong place. But Satan and his anointing, his inspiration, whatever form that he finds to express that that inspiration in our age, he has an objective. He wants to bring you somewhere. That anointing, as you yield yourself to, as you follow that anointing, as you allow that anointing, that inspiration access inside of your life, it's going to bring you to a certain place. And where does Satan bring you to? The anointing of the Holy Ghost will always bring you to life. The anointing that comes from below will always bring you to death. The Holy Ghost will bring you into light. Satan will bring you into darkness. You know, so this is why it's very, very important, maybe for us to, in a simple way, let's just consider inspiration this evening, because everything has an inspiration behind it. Now, well, some things, you know, I mean, you can look at certain things and you know, we can, as they say, find the devil behind every bush. Now, you don't want to be extreme on that. You know, there's certain games, yeah, they're fine to play. And there's certain board games that are good to play. Now, I'm sure some people would analyze chess and would find some spirit behind chess or drafts or checkers or something. But I'm not speaking of that. But I'm saying that as we start to analyze music, as we start to analyze media, as we start to analyze the entertainment of this age, the films of this age, and you know, all of these kind of things. You know, we've got to bear in mind this thought of the inspiration, that everything that has a real inspiration. And how you really know that something has an inspiration upon it is have a look in the world. You normally find when something comes with this, got really an anointing, an inspiration upon it, you find it becomes a fad. It becomes the in thing. You know, a certain film will shake the whole world. You know, a certain song will sweep the nations. And you'll find that, wow, there was a certain inspiration on that that really had an effect in the midst of people, where other things will come and they just pass away. But you will find that this thing of inspiration, it's a very, very important thought, because inspiration comes to take you somewhere. You know, it's not just an inert force inspiration. It's not just something that comes that, you know, you can just play around with it and you'll ever be the same. Inspiration comes to change you from one side to the other. So we've just read the scripture in 2 Peter. Okay, about being moved by the Holy Ghost. It's speaking about how did the Bible come to us? How did the prophets bring forth the prophecies of the word? If you take your Bible, how did the Bible come to us? 40 different authors, 66 books, 1,500 years, but it all tells a unified story. It may tell it in different forms and different ways, different shadows, different types, but it's all pointing to Christ. It's all pointing to redemption. That's showing us the fall, and it's showing us redemption, and then showing us the end of redemption at the end of the book. So no matter which of the prophets spoke, no matter which way it came as worship, Psalms in the times of David, or Proverbs, wisdom in the time of Solomon, or in shadows and types in the tabernacle, in the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all of them. But you'll find the inspiration behind them all was the same inspiration, was all leading and pointing to the same thing. It was pointing to redemption through Christ. And that's what you're going to find. That's this inspiration will always, the right inspiration will always lead you to the same place, no matter which generation you live in, no matter what time, what culture, no matter what language you speak, the correct inspiration will always bring you to Christ. It'll always do that. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will testify of me. He won't testify of himself. He will glorify me. So the Holy Ghost, when his inspiration will always lift up Christ, will always lift up the work of redemption. And that's how you know Paul and Peter and them, they tell us that. So 2 Peter 1 says, verse 21, says the prophecy. So when they prophesied, so when Isaiah prophesied and said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, 700 years before Jesus was born. Verse 21 says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't Isaiah trying to find something to say. This inspiration that struck him, these words that came forth from this inspiration, didn't originate from Isaiah. They came forth from God. It says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, this one of being moved by the Holy Ghost, the prophets were instruments that God used now to speak from God. God was going to speak through these prophets to bring his word to us. They wrote exactly what they were moved to write, even though often they didn't understand it themselves. Like when Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive, he didn't understand what he was saying. But he was so moved, that inspiration struck him so much that he spoke things that he didn't understand. And even Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, I don't have it on the slide, but he tells us that the prophets who prophesied of this grace that would come to us, they made careful inquiry. They searched out to know, when will this be? How will this be? Now, they knew this inspiration was so powerful. It's speaking things so glorious. When will this be? And Peter says, speaking of the sufferings of Christ and the glory to follow. So even the prophets themselves, that inspiration would strike them. And after the inspiration left and they wrote down, they were moved by the Holy Ghost, they would study that prophecy themselves and would search and pray and seek to understand, what does this mean? Showing that it never originated from them. It never was from their understanding. It never came from the realm of man. This divine inspiration came down upon them. And that's why they prophesied the way that they did. So it says, but men moved by the Holy Spirit, yeah, spoke from God. That's a literal translation. So these men were moved by the Holy Spirit. There's the word moved below there. Moved, Pharaoh, means to bear or carry off a ship carried along by the wind. You know, so that ship's not moving itself. That ship has caught a certain wind. This speaks of an inspiration. It's when a wind comes and the captain of the ship realizes, I need to take advantage of this wind. It may not last long. So he sets his sails in his vessel to catch the wind. And the wind now, this ship is now borne. It's moved by the wind. It's borne along by the wind. And this is what Peter is saying, that when the prophets got in the spirit now, now that Holy Ghost just came and moved them in that kind of a way. Yeah, this is a real powerful thing to think about. They're being moved by the Holy Ghost. They're being carried off by the wind of the Holy Ghost. Allow just who that is there and just quieten them down a little bit. Yes, yeah, so it's being moved of the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's fine now. Okay. So the prophets now, that is the way they were moved. It's similar word when you take it back to Genesis 1 verse 2, when it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now see, here there was disorder. There was chaos. Yeah. Now people couldn't. You know, if you looked at the earth in that kind of a form, there was nothing pleasing. You know, there was just a confusion. It was a chaos. But here came an inspiration. Here came an anointing that came forth for a particular purpose from the Lord to bring forth a particular result. And the Holy Ghost now moved upon the face of the waters. And when he started to move upon the face of the waters, this inspiration, this anointing, as it started to operate, as the Holy Ghost brooded over the earth and created an atmosphere and started to work in that sort of an atmosphere, it brought order out of chaos. It brought light into the darkness then in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1. And then as the Holy Ghost continued to move upon the face of the deep, it brought paradise, it brought Eden out of all this waste and of this confusion. It brought forth something so fruitful out of something that was so confusing. Yeah, I love the way Brother says how the Holy Ghost, he brooded like over the earth at that time, like putting his great wings over the earth, and that inspiration struck the elements that were there. And the Holy Ghost was speaking, saying, come, come, the Father's ordained you, come forth. I've come to manifest what God has spoken of you. And you know, the elements, they don't have a free will. They just yielded to that anointing. And all of the petroleum and all of the calcium and all the different things now just yielded to that inspiration, were moved by the inspiration, came together, and here came a buttercup. Yeah, and then this inspiration moved now the dirt from another place and brought the elements together. And what came forth? Here came forth a rose. And the deeper that the Holy Ghost started to inspire and brood, and the longer the earth stayed under that inspiration, the more it was going to change from darkness to light. The more it was going to change from barrenness to fruitfulness. The more it was going to change from, you know, this void, this confusion, to what God would say, it is good. And friends, that's going to be exactly the same in your life and mine. I mean, it's going to be absolutely no different for us. The longer you stay there, when that inspiration, when the anointing, when God visits you, you just need to set your sails in that inspiration and let that inspiration move you to the place that you're supposed to be. You know, we have a free will. Obviously the elements at that time, they never had a free will. They just were moved by the Holy Ghost. But us, we need to consent when the Holy Ghost draws near, when the inspiration comes to us. And then we sing the song, every time he comes, something good happens. So he wants to move you to a certain place. You may be in a place of confusion. You need that inspiration. You need to set your sails in the inspiration. And like a ship in the sea, it'll move you to a place you're supposed to be. It'll move you to the answer. You may be in sickness. You need to just set your sails in the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, in the promises of the word, and allow the power, the anointing, the inspiration and the promises to move you from sickness into health. Yeah, it's not you. It's not by power, as we want to say. We know the scripture. It's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, that is the principle here. The earth couldn't regenerate itself. The earth couldn't bring forth anything good itself. It needed this inspiration to come. Then down came the Holy Ghost, and the earth responded now. And how does the brother said in the seals, all the church can do is respond to the anointing. What does it say in Isaiah 40? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as an eagle. That eagle that, well, you know, it stands there, it'll be in the cleft of the rock, whatever. Then it senses the wind comes. It senses, now's my time. And it just flops its wings once and catches that air current. You see, it knows how to set its wings like the ship sets its sails. And now that current bears it up. It hardly has to flap its wings if it knows how to ride the air currents. And friends, that's speaking to us of the power of inspiration. When the Lord draws near to you, when the Lord wants to visit you and move inside of your life through the Holy Ghost, now it's not jumping and shouting and kicking and screaming. You know, no, it's yielding to that anointing and allowing that anointing. They shall rise up on wings as an eagle. He'll raise you up out of your circumstances. He'll raise you up out of temptation. That power, that inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He'll move you just as he moved the prophets. Yeah, that divine energy, that anointing, that life of the Holy Ghost will come down and do that for you and I. It'll bring a great change inside of our situation. So it's bringing you somewhere. Don't forget that. I'm starting off on the positive side because I wanted to start on the positive side before we get on to the negative side, because obviously there's another inspiration. And that inspiration is not going to take you from chaos and bring you to fruitfulness. It's going to take you, if you allow it, like in Eden, from fruitfulness and bring you into chaos. It's not going to take you the inspiration of the devil, the darkness, the gross darkness, the inspiration that's upon the nations in this day. That's not going to bring you from light to darkness. It's going to bring you from light to darkness, not from darkness to light. It's going to bring you from order to disorder. It's going to bring you from vision to confusion. And that is why this inspiration is a powerful thing. If you yield yourself to the wrong anointing, you're going to be moved, borne along by that anointing to a certain place. Now, that anointing is going to lead you somewhere. So you want to make sure that it's the right anointing that you're yielding yourself to. Have a look at the picture on the top right there, Moses. Imagine this inspiration at the burning bush that came to Moses. There was an agenda. There was a motive behind this. God says, I've heard the cries of my people. I've come down to deliver them. And I'm sending you, Moses, to set them free. So as Moses now set his wings as a prophet into that anointing, yeah. And he allowed that anointing, set his wings, moved him down to Egypt. And then God breathed through him the word. The plague started to come and the prophecy started to come forth. What was the end result of that inspiration that came to Moses? Was there was a chosen people in the promised land. That is what that inspiration came through. And anybody that yielded to that inspiration and allowed that inspiration to work, just setting their sails right and just align, like Joshua and Caleb in the wilderness, allowing the inspiration to take them through the trials and the temptations in the wilderness. The end result of that inspiration coming was the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel in their promised land under the Joshua Commission. So you can see an inspiration always comes for a purpose. Yeah, it's going to lead you somewhere. If it's an inspiration that comes from above, you want to follow that inspiration right to the end because it's leading you somewhere. It's moving you somewhere. So inspiration is going to do that. But look down at the bottom. There's Sodom and Gomorrah. What about the Canaanites? Now, they yielded to inspiration as well in their age, like people are doing in our age, as it was in the days of Lot. so shall it be in the revealing of the Son of Man, Jesus said. And look what that inspiration, look what it led them to the burning of Sodom, to fire and brimstone, to destruction, to perdition, to judgment. Because they followed the wrong inspiration. They set their sails in the wrong inspiration. And look where it led them to. It led them to a destination. And that's what always inspiration is going to do. It's going to lead you from one place to another. In the end time, inspiration, divine inspiration, the anointing comes down in each age. And what is the anointing of this age? It's going to lead every single one of us either to the rapture or the tribulation. And the anointing, the inspiration that you are yielding yourself to in your life at this time is going to lead you to one of these destinations. There's no other destination. Either you're going in the rapture or you're going in the tribulation. There's no other destination. And it depends on which inspiration, which anointing we are yielding ourselves to. The inspiration, the genuine inspiration of Christ in this age, the ministry of the Son of Man, the eagle anointing in this age, the spirit of restoration in this age, it'll bring you and I the spirit of rapturing faith as you just set your sails and that inspiration that's been released in this age. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It'll move you all the way into the rapture, like Enoch. But if you follow the wrong inspiration in this age, it's going to lead you into a tribulation. It's going to lead you either to the wedding supper or to Armageddon. Every single person this age, if people don't go by the way of the grave, is going to end up either at the wedding supper of the Lamb, the most glorious thing, or at the destruction of Armageddon, the most horrifying of things, just depending on which inspiration we're following. Because inspiration always leads you to a destination. There's an agenda behind an inspiration. Brother Ram says about that rock and roll music leading them to Armageddon. Didn't he say that? The inspiration upon the music of this age, the rebelliousness and the sensuality and all of that. It's leading people to the burning of Sodom just as much as whatever system entertainments they had in Sodom. That inspiration as people yielded themselves to, it led them to their Armageddon, to their burning of Sodom at that time. You know, so you can see this one of an inspiration is it's an important thought because you're going to be led, you're being led somewhere. We are sheep. We're being led. So you want to make sure that we're led by the right things. Now the scripture, I'm going to read it again in 2 Timothy. It's speaking now, we saw what Peter said. He says, holy men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost. But the prophets, they were just born along. That anointing came and just took them along and they wrote the things down and you know it was powerful. Paul comes from another angle in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. Now, inspired by God. This word, theopneustos, comes from two words. Neo, or theo is God, neo, to breathe or to blow. So all scripture is God-breathed. It's divinely breathed. It's like those prophets and those apostles, they weren't speaking their own words. They came under such an inspiration that God breathed his word through them. Friends, that's a powerful thing to think about. You can be so yielded to the Holy Ghost that he can breathe his word through you. And that's a creative breath. That's a powerful breath. Imagine the breath of God, what it can do. Look what it did in Eden. Look what it'll do if you allow it inside of your life. So all scripture is breathed of God. It's God-breathed. It didn't come from the will of man. Peter says it's not of any private interpretation, but these holy men of old, that inspiration struck them. They got so in that anointing. They spoke things. They breathed the direct, pure, perfect word of God. And that was recorded. They wrote it down. And that's where we got our Bible from. That's why this book is God-breathed. There's a pure, perfect inspiration in this book. It's the only book you'll ever find that has not a single mistake in it. Yeah. The inspiration is just perfect inside of this book. None of the prophets in this book ever had to come back and correct anything which they said, because it wasn't them saying it in the beginning. It was God breathing through them. So there was the power of infallibility because it was God breathing through. The power of inerrancy. It was not a single mistake they would make. And they, in different countries, Daniel's in Babylon, someone down in Egypt, Joseph's in Egypt, Abraham's in the promised land, Ezra and them, they're in Shushan. But when the Holy Ghost inspires and breathes through them, those prophets, Zechariah, Zephaniah, there's one continuity, a perfect continuity in all that they prophesied. And all the prophecies pointing to Christ, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. And now we are partakers of the glory that should follow the sufferings of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the bride and the greater promises and all that is the glory that should follow. And these prophets, they spoke it, that just God breathed those prophecies through them, and they didn't even understand what they were saying. They didn't understand, and they searched diligently. When will this be? Hey, this is going to be powerful. When will it be? Who will be the people that will see these things? Because God just moved them and breathed through them. So, now the scriptures are God-breathed. I'll put three pictures in. The first one is Mary. Because just as much as the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed Mary, she received the inspiration of the angel, Gabriel. He came from the presence of God. The words he spoke to, "Hail Mary, blessed art thou amongst women." Yeah? You have found favor with God. That was God breathing on her. God was speaking through his angel to her, giving her these promises. And there was such an inspiration in those promises that it created a condition of spiritual fertility inside of her heart. And she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." And the angel said, "The power of the Most High, the inspiration, the same inspiration that gave me the promise for you, is the same inspiration that's going to come and cause you to conceive inside of your womb. You're going to be overshadowed by the same inspiration." So she was so anointed by this inspiration, yeah? And here came conception. What about Isaiah or the prophets there that caught that revelation, such a revelation? They never caught it in their womb and brought forth a physical son like Mary did with Jesus. They caught it in their spiritual womb, this inspiration. Each of the prophets, the power of the Most High overshadowed them as well. And the holy thing that was born of them was the Bible. Yeah. You book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of the epistles of Paul, they were overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And what was born of that inspiration, as they set their sails and allowed that inspiration to bear them along to what God wanted to reveal to them, that's how we got the Bible. The Bible came to us by inspiration. It's a perfectly inspired book. Now, friends, that last picture there, the Bible, the inspiration that's in the Word. Each of those prophets, they brought forth the Word of life. That's what it was. And there's life nowhere else. The only place you'll find life is in Christ, is in the Word. Because Jesus, you can never separate him from the Word. So the correct inspiration will always bring you to life. It'll bring you to the Word. It'll bring you to Christ in your age. It'll bring you to the tree of life. It'll bring you so that you might know him, because to know him is life. Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I mean, you just see the genuine anointing, genuine inspiration, genuine Holy Ghost, it's going to, if you set your sails, it's going to bring you closer and closer to Christ, deeper and deeper in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As we've been saying these last few weeks at church, it's going to lift him up. It's going to glorify his name. That's what the genuine divine inspiration did through the prophets. That's what it did through the apostles. That's what it did through the seven church ages. And it'll do the same through you and I. If we'll just set our sails in that unction, inspiration of the Holy Ghost, when he visits you in the season of visitation, you follow that inspiration, it's going to be such a blessing to you and it's going to be such glory to him, because that's how it always works. There's life nowhere else but in the Word of God. And that's, as we'll see, anything that brings you to the Word is the right inspiration. Anything that takes you from the Word is your enemy. No matter how powerful it may be inspired, no matter the feelings it may bring forth, because inspiration comes from two sources. And that's why we've got to be careful. You know, we can get caught up sometimes in the wrong thing because it was so inspiring. We've got to be careful of that one. So there were two inspirations in Eden. And if Eve had have kept setting her sail in the inspiration of the Word that they had received, that was their defense. That was life to them. If she could have just, each time she went to church, each time she spoke with Adam, maybe Adam was receiving the revelation from God and then telling it to Eve. We don't know how it was. But when that anointed Word was coming, if she could have just kept setting her sails in that inspiration, it would have, kept on bringing her back to the tree of life. That inspiration would, her sails would drive her back to the tree of life once again. But she was deceived, and what did she do? She yielded to the wrong inspiration. And this bore her along to a certain place. It brought her to the tree of knowledge now, you know, to partake of the fruit that she wasn't supposed to partake of. She ate something contrary to the Word. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But she went and partook of the wrong fruit from the wrong tree in her Eden, in the days of Eden. So we need to be very careful what inspiration we yield to, because it can cause us also to eat from the wrong tree. In this Eden, Satan's Eden, in the end time, and when she ate from the wrong tree, it took her from life to death. If she had just kept in the right inspiration, it would have kept her growing from glory to glory, going back to the tree of life, partaking of the tree of life, partaking of the tree of life. But another inspiration came in. Satan came to deceive her and to take her. And that inspiration took her from life and brought her into death. And that shows, saints, that in this day we're living now, we need to handle the tree of knowledge very carefully. The tree of knowledge and science and all the things that come from the tree of knowledge. This digital age, the movies, the videos, the video games, the music, all of these different things that are coming forth. We need to be very, very careful. Even social media and so forth, we need the unction of the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us to handle these things wisely. Because as we saw with Eve, there's a propensity, that there's the potential in these things. If you just deceived and yield to the wrong anointing, you find death can start to set in where there was life. It can take you from vision to confusion. It can take you from light to darkness. You don't want that inside of your life, especially in this kind of a day that we're living in. Now let's think of Cain's inspiration. Then we'll get now a little bit into the topic, and then we'll finish off. So Cain caught an inspiration. He was very inspired in the things that he did. But let's see how it started with Cain. Genesis 4, verse 16. And Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. So the moment that happened, we know everything that Cain does is under the wrong inspiration after that. Because he's gone out of the presence of the Lord. And friends, when you go out of the presence of the Lord, nothing good's going to come from the inspiration you're going to bring yourself under. You're going to marry the wrong people, have the wrong friends, you know, find yourself in all the wrong places, make the wrong decisions. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Verse 17, he knew his wife, she conceived, he built a city. So something is coming forth now. Civilization, we can see civilization, this civilization is from the devil, because look at the inspiration. Cain conceived. Once he went out of the presence of the Lord, he was overshadowed by an inspiration, and he brought forth from that inspiration. And the first thing that he brought forth was city life. He started to build the cities. And you see the slums and the prostitution. Look at the beer halls, the pubs, the bars. the nightclubs. You know, look at all the things you find in the big cities now, the drug dealers, you know, the gang warfare, all the immorality. Look at the billboards. I mean, hey, you love to live out of the cities these days if you're a believer. No believer really loves to live in, you know, right in downtown in a city, because it's not a nice life. You find normally the worst things in humanity seem to gather in those kind of places. There's such a darkness that gathers in the cities. And you'll find that inspiration, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. There was no divine inspiration inside of his life anymore. And now he started to build. Satan now used him. This inspiration came to Cain. Satan had a vessel, and Satan started to build his Eden now. And he started to pervert the Eden that had already fallen. But what had started as a paradise in Eden, which was God's Eden, this earth has now become Satan's Eden because of what people have achieved and their works and their labors and the things which their ambitions and so forth, the decisions that they make, what they give them, how they set their sails to the wrong inspiration. It's produced great things, skyscrapers, jets, you know, all manner of technology. But friends, none of it really came from the right dimension. It didn't come from the right spirit. Now we have to use the things. I mean, to live in this life, you've got to drive your car. You've got to use your phone. You know, none of those things came from divine inspiration. So now we need to know how to use these things wisely. And that's going to include the internet age, digital media, and all that. We're going to need to use them, but you're going to need the grace of God, because these things never originated in God. The inspiration behind these things wasn't from God. You know, so we need to walk carefully in these things. In verse 21, now let's get on to the first topic. We'll start a little bit on it. So Cain, he has his son, and then his son gets married, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father, so the originator of all such as handled the harp and music, harp and organ. So now we find Cain, he's come out of the presence of God. He's raising his children out of the presence of God. And now entertainment starts to come forth. Now, there's going to be nothing good in this entertainment. You're going to have to be very careful with this entertainment, because it doesn't have an inspiration that comes from the presence of God. They've come out of the presence of God. Now they've started their musical instruments. Now they start making, you know, their rock bands. They start making their rap music. They start making their gangster rap. You know, all of this kind of stuff we find in Satan's Eden, we find it in seed form back then in Genesis. Genesis being the seed chapter of the Bible. So, you know, this music, this sensual music, this demonic kind of music with the wrong beat, the wrong rhythm, the wrong beat, you know, that wakens the sensuality, the fallen passions inside of the fallen human being, they never originated with God. Now, God had his music. He had his worship. But it was a totally different inspiration, and they shouldn't mix. And we'll see. We don't have a chance this week, but the Lord, he says, stay apart, you sons of Seth, who are calling upon the name of the Lord, that are staying overshadowed by the right inspiration. Don't go and marry these girls from that inspiration. Don't go and mix down there in the cities with those people to get yourself unequally yoked together with them. And by the time you get to Genesis 6, the sons of God, they look on the daughters of man, they take them wives. God says, I'm going to have to destroy the whole thing. You see, God says, Noah, build an ark. I'm going to have to destroy the whole thing now. You know, so God's word always calls for total separation. He wants us to be totally separate from the wrong inspiration. So we need a discernment to know what's got the right inspiration, what's got the wrong inspiration. Because the Lord doesn't want us partaking of the wrong inspiration, because it's going to lead you somewhere. And led the sons of God to sin grievously against God by marrying the daughters of man. And God says, I regret that I made man. Yeah. I'm sorry that I made man. They are just flesh. I'll give them another 120 years and that's it. And God destroyed the whole thing. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we need to be careful of these inspirations in the end time. Okay, so let me just show you now. Let's get into the darkness of it. I don't like getting into the darkness, but just to show that the worldly musicians, they know that their music never originated in themselves. You know, I'm just going to take some of the most foundational musicians from this last generation, the ones who initiated this rock music and this trend of music that has swept this last 40, 50 years. Let's see what they said about the source of the inspiration for their music. Now, friends, we could take so many of these things. I'm just going to take just a few. The very first is the Beatles, because these were the forerunners. These were the ones who opened the door and others came in. These were the ones who challenged the norms. These were the ones who, like, you know, they were the first sheaf of the devil in this age. You know, they like broke through the barriers. They took society on in ways which, you know, you never would have believed if you lived 100 years ago and came now and listened to the music. No, you never would believe it. So Yoko Ono, who was John Lennon's wife, said they, speaking of the Beatles, were like mediums. Now, if a person doesn't know what a medium, a spirit medium, is somebody who yields themselves to become possessed by a spirit of divination. Like a witch doctor. Yeah. They're spirit medium or spirit mediums back home in Africa, where a person gets possessed and people come now and that spirit speaks through a person. So John Lennon's wife says the Beatles were like mediums. They weren't conscious of all they were saying, but it was coming through them. That's what I'm saying. Look at the prophets. They didn't know what they were saying. They didn't even understand the prophecies they were given. God was breathing through them. They just set their sails. They were caught by an inspiration, and they brought forth the Bible. These devils, the Beatles, because they were that, they were evil people. You know, in the things they said and all that, you know, the influence they put, they set their sails to a certain inspiration that started in Eastern religion. They went to the Eastern religion, then they got into the drugs and that, and they got borne along until they got so possessed by that inspiration, that darkness, that even Yoko Ono says they were like mediums. They weren't conscious of all that they were saying, but it was coming through them. And so many of them say the same thing. What about the Rolling Stones? Yeah, Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. This is Keith Richards. He says, we receive our songs by inspiration, like at a seance. Yay. A seance is where you gather together in a circle and you have the, you know, whoever the medium there, this guide there, and you light your candles and you set the atmosphere and you start calling on the spirits of the dead. And then now, you know, it's not the spirit of the dead person, but a spirit being, a demon comes. Yeah, and now starts to communicate and possess somebody or do certain things or manifest itself in a certain way. That's what a seance is. A seance is tapping into the powers of darkness, tapping into the realm beyond of those that have already passed on in time. So they say that the Rolling Stones, we receive our songs by inspiration. But what kind of an inspiration? They say where they're getting the inspiration from. They're not getting it from the same source as the prophets. They're not getting it from the same source as the apostles. They're getting it from the same source as when Saul went to inquire of the witch of Endor. And she wanted to call up the spirit of Samuel the prophet. I mean, hey, that was forbidden in Israel. The Lord says, for these things I drove the nations out from before you. Have nothing to do with these unfruitful works, deeds of darkness. Even the New Testament says. So you can really see these people, they knew. Yeah, I have some quotes. I don't have them here, but I had maybe 20 different musicians there speaking of saying, even Bruce Springsteen said, he says, it's impossible to write a song under an inspiration and not look back afterwards and wonder where that song came from. You know, it's like when you really get in an inspiration, whatever calling you are, so like me, if it's to be preaching or teaching, you get into such an inspiration sometimes, things open up, and you'll even learn so much yourself even while you're preaching it, because there's an inspiration in it. It's not from you. Now that's a measure. Imagine the fullness in the prophets. God breathed completely through them. What about you songwriters, you who write songs? and inspiration strikes you, you put it down and you look and you say, where did that come from? Yeah, that didn't originate in me. That wasn't me using my brain power and cracking my head to try to find something to put down on the page. But you just set your sails, an anointing came and you set your sails and you were born, you were moved of the Holy Ghost and something came forth. You were overshadowed, conceived, and you brought forth something. Now, all entertainments like that, anything that's going to become popular in this world, in the spiritual sense, in the Christian realm, in the bride, when people get a deep inspiration on them and they're born by the Holy Ghost, you know, that becomes everyone all over will be blessed by that thing. What about in darkness? What about a video game that's been so inspired by the powers of darkness? Yeah. And somebody's moved. People are born in an inspiration in darkness and they conceive and they bring forth a video game or a song or a movie. You know, you've got to be careful what inspiration that you're fellowshipping with. What about Little Richard? Little Richard was one of the most immoral of the guys back in the days just after the Beatles. He said, he's open about it. He says, I was directed and commanded by another power. The power of darkness. He knew it. That a lot of people don't believe exists. The power of the devil, Satan. Yay. Yay. Friends. That's what inspiration does. And look at each of these guys I'm speaking about. They became a phenomena in entertainment in their day. They swept the world. It became a craze. Number one hits one after another. It just struck something in humanity, fallen humanity, that just responded to it because they caught it, this inspiration. They caught, set their sails in this gross darkness that came forth. There was an agenda behind it. Satan was moving society to a certain place because he wants to perfect his Eden. He wants to bring his Eden to a maturity. So he's looking for vessels that he can overshadow and inspire that'll give their free will over to him, set their sails in his anointing, and he'll start to bring forth in the realm of the digital world and the realm of music, video, film, all of these kind of things. So he's very open, Little Richard, about where he got his inspiration from. The last one, what about AC/DC? I used to listen to them. AC/DC, Angus Young. You can see him saying this on the video. He says, it's like I'm on automatic pilot. By the time we're halfway through the first number, the first song, someone else is steering me. I'm just along for the ride. I become possessed when I get on stage. Yes. And I'm so embarrassed as I went and spent my money and bought those things when I was young, you know, and put my earphones in and listened to that kind of a music. And then I no wonder why there was such a darkness inside of my life and I got involved in dark things the way that I did. It's because I set my sails in a dark inspiration that came to me in the form of music. That was the medium that Satan was using to bring this inspiration of death, this inspiration of darkness inside of my life. And when I accepted that music and I put the sound on and put up the full volume in the car on your ghetto blaster in those days and stuff, you know, hey, that inspiration, that darkness, that anointing was now transferred from the music and started to come upon me and started to come upon you. Because once you start fellowshipping with it now, you start yielding yourself, setting your sails, that inspiration is going to move you somewhere. I put two pictures there, as we're not far from a close, but the black and white one, I couldn't find a good picture. But this is when Elisha was out of the spirit, remember, and the kings had got themselves in trouble and they called for a prophet. And because Ahab was there, Elisha got angry and says, I'm not going to prophesy. And then the Jehoshaphat was there and Elisha said, I really need the inspiration to find out what is the answer to this situation. And he called for a minstrel. He called for a musician. And the musician came and started to play sacred music. And there was an inspiration on the music. And that inspiration on the music brought an anointing upon the prophet. And Elisha started to prophesy. And he said, make the valley full of ditches and all that. You know the story. So you can see this was the correct inspiration on music now. It took the depression off the prophet. It brought the Holy Ghost on the man. Now, the wrong inspiration is going to put the depression on you and take the Holy Ghost off you. It's going to put the wrong spirit upon you. Like our good sister Nelly Sanders going into the dance hall there and coming out demon-possessed and having to have that demon cast out of her. Now, that inspiration she yielded, set her sails to it. Friends, there's an agenda behind these. The other one there is obviously King David playing for Saul. Yeah, Saul is sick, he's depressed, he's got whatever, you know. Nowadays, they'd give you all kinds of drugs and all that. But David came with an anointed hand, and he is gifted, and the anointing came upon him. He'd play, and the evil spirit from the Lord would trouble Saul no more. It would deliver. There was deliverance through the right inspiration. David just set his sails now in the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, allowed it to overshadow him. He conceived, brought forth something that brought deliverance to the captives. Ah, friends, inspiration. Okay, I'm going to finish off with this. It's quite a dark example. I've read this once before in church years back when we did cyber warfare. But we were speaking the other day with the young people about the Marvel comics and the Marvel movies. So I just want to show the inspiration where this came from. In their own words. So when people see Black Panther, and when people see, you know, Superman versus Batman, and when people see Avengers Endgame, whatever it is, that came from somewhere. There was an inspiration for these things, as we showed that the six of the top 13 movies, best-selling movies of all time, were Marvel movies. They've made over $25 billion with their 27 movies. So you can see this is a phenomenon in this age. Why? Because there's such an anointing and inspiration on these things, and we can see it by the people that brought forth and conceived these things. So Stan Lee, there's Stan Lee, died a few years back, 95 years old. He was the creator of Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, and then he created Marvel. Then he sold Marvel to Disney before he died. So Marvel is under Disney now. But I'm not going to get into him. You can spend a lot of time about him and what he said. But he had his disciples. So he took the comics to a certain level, and now to get it to a higher level, he had a disciple. And the disciple that he had, the talented young disciple he had that really caught an inspiration to take these things into the next level, the next dimension, which brought the phenomena that we see now, is the guy. We're just going to look at his own words, his own testimony before we finish. And his name is Grant Morrison. There he is there. So Grant Morrison, this is what they say about him. He's one of the most important creative writers to ever work on any title in comics. Morrison has had numerous groundbreaking runs on several big titles, including Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, X-Men, Justice League of America. You know, so when we're looking at the big things, which he started in the comics and then they've brought them into the movies now, he's still alive and around. But each of these phenomena in entertainment that we see, we can trace it back to one man. The inspiration came from one man. He took things to another dimension, another level compared to Stan Lee. I mean, I won't get into him, but he had his darkness. But here was Grant Morrison, and he is the apostle who really, really came and brought these things to this level. So all of these different things that we see there, we can trace it directly back to him. Now let's have a look at his testimony. So he says, I tried a magic ritual when I was 19. I was given a book by my uncle Billy, who was interested in Aleister Crowley. Now, Aleister Crowley, if anybody knows, he lived about 120 years ago. Aleister Crowley was called 666 Mark of the Beast. He was the most wicked man. I mean, he was the man who really brought witchcraft, black magic into the Western world. He was an American guy. I think he was a British or something. Aleister Crowley. He was a wicked man, but he wrote his books on magic and his books on these things. And all of these musicians and all of these entertainers and anybody, they study Aleister Crowley's things. So he's like their prophet in a way. Yeah, that's where the Satan found his vessel to preach this darkness to the age and all of these entertainers, and that they draw from the darkness of Aleister Crowley. So Grant Morrison, when he's 19, his uncle gives him a book from Aleister Crowley. And he says, his uncle was the same guy who gave me my first comic books. He was a big formative influence. So he gets these books of Crowley about magic and rituals and spells and that, and he tries them out when he's 19 years old. He says, I did the whole thing. I did the candles, the magic words. I did the banishing. My, this is all demon things and all that. Then I stopped and went to bed, and this thing happened when I was lying down. So now he plays around. He gets the candles. He's been studying now this gross dark inspiration of Crowley, how to get involved in magic, how to get involved casting spells, how to get involved in banishing spirits, breaking curses, whatever that it is. And he thinks, oh, that's okay. Let me just go to bed now. Friends, you can't just go to bed when you've been doing something like that. Now, it's like us in the other side of the spiritual world. When you really get yourself in the Word of God, you get yourself in the message of the hour, you break through into a certain inspiration. Yeah. You're standing on the promises. You're prayerful. You really get in the spirit of it. It's not easy for you to go to bed and sleep because you're in the spirit of it. And you really, really, that anointing continues with you. So he says, and right in front of me, there was kind of a gravitational point. So he starts seeing like a vision. Something opens up in his bedroom. He's done these spells. He goes to bed. There was kind of a gravitational point in the air in the room, which was drawing all of these perspective towards it, as if there was a hole there or a crack. So he sees like a portal in his room, and everything's like being sucked into this portal. And then inside of himself, he says, and there was the sense of black oil filling up the folds between the brain. So he just felt this anointing, this black oil. I said, hey, even the symbology is right. It's an anointing, but it's black. So he feels even in himself, something's anointing, something's filling him. And he breaks into this other dimension, whatever, this demonic dimension. And he sees like a portal opened. My, he's been playing around with the wrong inspiration. He says, I just freaked out and called on the gods. See what he calls it. The gods of my mom and dad, Jesus. So at least he had parents. Yeah? And he called on Jesus because that's the only name that he knew. That he would get me out of this. And the Holy Spirit ended after that. So the Lord gave him grace. When he called upon the name of Jesus, all those things disappeared. But then he went back and he started playing some more with it. You would have thought that you would have learned that there's power in this Jesus. There's frightening things, there's darkness, there's black oil, there's portals open up when I play around with this Crowley, this spiritualism stuff, this witchcraft. So he says, so now he starts playing around some more. He says, then I had a vision of a lion's head. He saw this lion rise up. And he started to announce stuff. So this lion started to tell him things. So it seemed pretty plain to me that I'd activated something that he, Crowley, was talking about. He says, I realized I activated a certain inspiration. I got myself into a certain realm. His friends, now, so what does he do? He starts getting deeper into it, and this lion, this being started appearing to him and start announcing things to him. And he starts writing this down. And this is where he gets the inspiration from to write his comics, which become the Marvel movies. Can you see the dimension this man got himself into? Gets such an inspiration of darkness that it brings forth such a phenomenon the way that it does. And one of his friends says, his friend recalls, he says, I went to his room to ask him for a drink, just if he wanted to go for a drink. The door slowly opened. I saw Grant with what seemed to be nothing but a gray blanket tugged over his head. Do you want to come out for a drink? No, I'm writing. I'm having breakthroughs. And the door closed again all on its own. So the man was really, he's covering himself up. He's in this dimension. Now he's having breakthroughs that he caused. And this is where he's getting his inspiration from that makes him the most powerful comic book creator in the end time. Hey, I don't know about you, friends, but when I look at this, then I see, but guys, I even when I was in the world, I'm really glad I never liked those Avenger stuff and all that kind of stuff. You know, I never liked that. I just thought it was creepy to me. And I was so glad because now I understand why I found it so creepy, because it is creepy. It's got the real wrong anointing upon it. Let's finish off. He says, so it says about Grant. Grant's far-reaching influence has not only affected the comic book community, but his work has inspired some of Hollywood's largest franchises, including The Matrix. Now, one brother once, when I was in another country, really lied to me. Well, he didn't mean to lie to me. He told me, he said, brother, you must watch The Matrix. It's powerful about all these things of dimensions and that. I went and I watched it. I wish I never watched it. It was the most strangest, weirdest, darkest, creepiest thing I could ever watch. And then I understood now when I saw it that, okay, The Matrix and The Matrix Reloaded or whatever, Matrix Revisit, all the whole thing. You understand the dimension that it came from, because the inspiration from it came from this man, Grant Morrison. And now Stan Lee of Marvel wants his comic books to get into another level, and he taps into this man to come and write all the Superman, the Batman, and all that Justice League of America. And all of a sudden, things hit to heights that movies have just about never seen before when they make the movies based on the comic books. Then you'll start to see that, yes, it's good to trace things back to their origin. It's good to see what is the source of this inspiration. I think I have one more, then we'll finish. Morrison says, I was glad that it caught on. And those who copied his idea for The Matrix. And that these ideas would get out into the general populace and make them think differently. My. He knew. He says, this inspiration I've received, this power that's come to me, I've been set my sails and I was borne along by this great anointing of darkness. He says, this is going to make society think differently. This is going to change and transform the world. And it has. And look at what people accept now. Look at the immorality in this world. Look at the way people dress on the streets. Look at just the foul language they can use just openly on films and the nakedness. And look, you couldn't have a look. It had to have an inspiration, a source from somewhere. And you can see it, friends. There were these prophets, false prophets, dark prophets, these mediums in the last day. That rose up, but they knew, and Satan knew, to use the entertainment. We just touched into music a little bit there to show they know where the inspiration comes from. This guy knows where his inspiration's coming from to do his comics, to do his Marvel, you know, his Marvel universe and all that kind of stuff. Finally, he makes this thing, the Invisibles, which became the biggest of all of them in the comics. And this is how he says he did it. He says, I had become the character. So he got this inspiration of a character. He says, I became that character. I was wearing the clothes. I was going to the places. I was doing the rituals. I was hanging out with the gods and then putting it back into the comic and then being affected by what was in the comic. So he says, I got into such a dimension of inspiration concerning a certain character until I started to dress like him. The inspiration I had of the comic about him, I went and did the things he did. He says, and that brought me to a place I was hanging around with the gods. He was so much in communion with the devil powers and the demons. He says, and then I'd come back from that experience and put it into another comic. I would take that even darker darkness now from that experience, make another comic. And then he says, then I'd read that comic, I'd get into the comic, and that would make me go and do the things again in the cycle. And I just keep going around and around, getting darkness to inspire my comics, and then the comics to inspire me to go deeper into the darkness. Right? Imagine on the positive side, that's exactly what you and I do. We get into the spirit of the word. You go on the streets, you testify, you go and do something for the Lord. You really get inspired. It takes you back to the word. You see something and the word inspires you to go and do what the word is saying. You do what the word is saying. It inspires you even more to come back to the word. I mean, it's like you can get yourself in that cycle of pure inspiration to be like Christ. You start dressing the way Christ wants you to dress. You start going to the places that Christ wants you to go. We don't do rituals, but you start worshiping in spirit and in truth, exactly the opposite of what he did, the darkness that he was involved in. Yeah? To the believer, we do it in the right inspiration. Because we are not influenced by characters like those on the comic book cover. We are influenced by Jesus himself. Like we were saying, perfection. That's what influences us. The final slide, he says, I got so sick. I read this in church the other day, but I thought I'd put it on a slide. I got so sick, lying by the fire in my house, and suddenly this giant column of light came through the door. You don't have to die. I don't want to die. What do I have to do? If you want to stay here, then you have to work for us. You have to spread the light. Friends. Yes. Hezekiah set his face to seek the Lord, and the Lord gave him 15 more years because he had been righteous before the Lord. I mean, this man here, this column of light comes in, says, you have to work for us. You keep on spreading this light and you'll be okay. Friends, what he calls light, we call gross darkness. And what he calls inspiration, we call inspiration from hell, because that's what it is. But you can start to see now why, friends, I just thought to bring it in this kind of a way today. Just in a starting point, just to maybe in some little way show the how powerful inspiration is. Yeah, just to show on one side or the other for things to come to a climax at the end time, for people to experience a body change in the rapture, you're going to have to set yourselves in the right inspiration. To be like Christ, to bring forth the promises of the word, you need to set your sails, and as he visits you with inspiration, yield to that anointing and allow the inspiration to work inside of your life. And then Satan on his side now, he has the gross darkness now. He's bringing his Eden to a climax as well. He's setting things up, not for the coming of Christ, but for the coming of Antichrist, you know, for the coming of the beast, so that he can set up his kingdom during the tribulation period. And friends, we are living in that time that we're in. This place, this valley of decision as to which anointing are we going to yield ourselves to. One will take you to the seal of God. The other will take you to the mark of the beast. It's a serious time, but they're anointings. They're powerful anointings. They're spiritual forces. You know, so it's not just feeling good or saying, hey, that was powerful when I was there. Yes, Satan is powerful as well. Jannes and Jambres, they were powerful. They could cast their sticks down and they became serpents, just like Moses did. You know, so you can see the age that we're living in now. We really need to, that's what we're trying to get into down the way as we try to navigate through this, is how do I know the right inspiration? How can I find the right inspiration in the games that I play? How can I find the right inspiration in the music that I listen to? How do I find the right inspiration in the entertainment, the things that I watch? Because we're surrounded by these things. And now it's become so many gray areas where it's all mixed together. You find so much of it in the church. You know, you find it in the fashions and all that. Oh, saints, we really need the grace of God. We thank the Lord for his grace, but we need to abide in the grace of God. Let's bow our heads. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I commit this to you just as a starting point. Lord, you be glorified, we pray, Jesus. We just want to be like you. How we want to stand against every power of darkness, Lord. Father, you said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but reprove them. May you help us to do that, Lord. But Jesus, we want to lift you up. Because, Lord, as we yield to your spirit, Lord, this brings us closer to you. And the closer we get to you, the more we want to be like you. So I pray if there's anybody that doesn't know you, that at this time now, Lord, let the anointing of grace, of redemption, blow into their souls now. May they set their sails and, Lord, just surrender themselves to you, that your inspiration may bear them along to full salvation, Lord, to deliverance, and to be the fullness of what you want them to be. And may you grant grace to our young people. May you grant grace to each and every one of us, Lord. Bless each person that is tuned in this day. Anybody that would maybe watch this on YouTube, speak, Lord, what was of truth from this, Lord, what is from your word. Father, you said you would never send your word without it achieving the purpose to which you sent it. So let it be so. And help, as we finish off now, Lord, you be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you richly this evening. Any questions, anything before we'd finish off? Anybody got anything you want to add, ask?
That one of inspiration was very powerful. Very, very powerful, Pastor. That was, thank you so much. You can see there's a lot of truth in that, you know. I won't say too much.
Yeah.
Very powerful. Thank you very, very much. That was inspired of God. This avenue we went, it equips us more for the journey.
Yeah, bro. May the Lord help us, brother, to be able to discern the inspiration. Absolutely, bro. You know, to what is the inspiration in the music? What is the inspiration on the games? Because now a lot of the Christian music, yeah, it's Christian in word, but the influence upon it, yeah, it wouldn't be what David played, or it wouldn't be what Elisha needed to bring the Spirit on him and stuff. So, bro, it really needs grace. So thanks, bro. Let's stay in prayer about it, yeah?
Amen.
Anybody else there? Sister Dash says, thank you, Pastor. Scary. Truly grace we are saved. Absolutely, sister. Like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord at that junction in time. Abraham, the Lord visited him with grace in that day when those seven nations of Canaan had got so immoral that it took grace to separate Abraham from there. And then God took his people out of Egypt, and he had to take Egypt and they worship out of the people in the wilderness and then take them into the promised land. Brother Greg, God bless you, bro.
God bless you, brother. Just a quick one, as you was saying about, you know, this man who, you know, made all those comics and stuff. It's almost like every single one of those successful guys, if it's a comic, if it's AC/DC, whoever those guys who are on top, if every single one of them have, if I can put that way, his own supernatural biography, if that makes sense, but in negative way. You will see those successful guys have, you know, beginning, they were born, they were, you know, digs, and then something happened in their life, and they went certain direction. So let's say, if I can put, let's say, to symbolize, like some kind of biography. So every single one of those guys have a biography, and then it could be an evil one or it could be the good one.
Amen.
So obviously, to trace a man of God, let's say I was listening even yesterday about, you know, the conference, that confrontation that have with Dr. Best with Brother Bosworth, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you would trace, let's say, a biography of the Dr. Best, you will see certain kind of, you know, background, whatever. My point of the story, brother, is the man of the comics make billions and billions and billions, and he have his story. As you read, it's dark, but it's our own supernatural in a evil way, if that makes sense. So even, brother, that even points. Yeah, brother, go ahead.
And I'm just going to say, to back you up, to say, if just to give you a word to express it, is that every one of them had their own burning bush experience, but it was the wrong burning bush. They did. I mean, that was the starting point. On like Moses, he was just a man, he could do nothing, but once he had that experience at the burning bush, then he set his sails. Now, at first, he didn't want to set his sails. I can't talk. I can't do this. And then the Lord said, but I made your mouth, and I'll send Aaron to be with you. And then he says, okay, I'll go. And then he set his sails now in that inspiration. But it started with that supernatural. So he had to yield. He had to give in to that. And Brother Greg, what you said is the truth. We could take every Hollywood star. We could trace it all the way back. You can find every one of those, like, forerunners, the ones like David Bowie, all the ones who pushed the boundaries and took things to another level, like the Beatles there and all that. You could take it away. Every single one of them, I can take it back, that an influence of Crowley inside of their life. Now, this darkness, they got involved in these kind of things. Everyone without a fail. Yeah, you can go and trace it. Like you're saying, they all had to, in order to become, like Satan said to Jesus, bow down and worship me. I'll give you these kingdoms. So for them to have the kingdoms, to have the success, yeah, there was a price they had to pay to get that. Why did they become successful and millions of others, maybe even more talented than them, didn't become successful? Can you see what I'm saying? There's something happened because Satan has an agenda. He's the god of this evil age. He's the ruler of this darkness. So he now finds those vessels to push his agenda forward. He gives him the riches like he offered to Jesus. And it gives them that burning bush experience. They set their sails, they sell their soul for rock and roll, like they say. And my, they become the ones now that, wow, they change society in their day. Yeah, absolutely. But carry on, bro.
No, but that's what I was going to say. It's almost like in the evil side, you have, you're almost a slave for devil. But in Amen. The glorious side, you are a son. You are that's just doing true. Things with love. It's a love Amen. And a slavery affair. But brother, anyway, it was very, very, very interesting to show, brother. I think it's very good the way how you even start the background, because, you know, it's very good to start the topic straight, you know, in. But it's yes. good actually to give a background before we hit the road in a full speed. Anyway, brother, thank you very much. God bless you.
I think, like you're saying, brother Greg, because if you don't know about inspiration, I mean, like, inspiration is a very, very important thing. That how do we know the right and wrong inspiration? I think that's the key on this. I don't think we could ever spend our time for, you know, in Bible studies and go through every single computer game and go through every single movie and stuff like that. I don't really think that's what we're supposed to do. But if each of us can learn, how can I discern what is right and what is wrong here? You know, how can I discern, is this the right inspiration or whatever? I think that's where we need to get to. Yeah, and I think that's exactly what the scripture wants us to get to. Brother Sasha, God bless you, brother.
Thank you. God bless you, everybody. Thank you, brother. It's a very good topic. Just what I want to tell you, it reminds me when you mentioned about this movie Matrix.
Yes.
And, this left big trail in the world. When I came in Ireland, in the company that I work now, there is a one guy used to drive machine. Now he went in Lithuania, I think. He was very nice guy, young, strong guy, very good guy. So he had a problem. Like he started to talk to me that he's only real, that we are all some hologram or something. We are not real. And I was thinking in first place that he is joking, you know. And after the boys tell me, he is not normal. Something's wrong with him. And he said, you see this table? Everything is not real, only I'm real here.
Okay. True, bro. Yes,
bro. Yes. So I tried to talk to him and to understand what's wrong with him. So after all, he told me, did you watch this movie Matrix?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, when I was in the world, I watched. And he started to explain me how everything is functioning, how somebody is control us, and how all this not real and this and everything. So at the end, he wants to kill himself.
Yeah.
He want to jump from the cliffs. But what I saw in this, that all these movies and this Marvel and Hollywood, they present themselves like they give some light.
That's right.
And people think that if they watch movies, they will understand how everything is function, why people have problems, they will resolve their problems. But they have very negative thoughts and the bad fruits, like this guy. So
true.
Just that. Thank you.
Absolutely, bro. It's very good that you said that. Yes, but I know with that one of the Matrix, it like was another dimension of a film. Yeah, that's why it struck the world, because it brought things and it became a phenomena. It became something which you can see. Like we say in the political events, say September the 11th, certain events took place that changed the world. And you can sense that, oh my. You may not fully understand it, but you know, that was important there. That did something. And like films like The Matrix, like even going back to Elvis Presley in his day, to bring that seductive filthiness in music into the white America, white Christian America. Satan needed a vessel and he found him in Elvis to push the boundaries. You know, if it had been colored people doing it and stuff, they would never have been accepted. But here came a white boy doing it. And he became the door which opened it up and allowed that darkness to come in. Next came the Beatles. Then came the Rolling Stones. And then it got darker. Then came all these guys, Black Sabbath and all those guys. Just kept going on. And then it gets now to Ariana Grande and saying God is a woman and all the stuff we see now. So you find that there was like the forerunners. They were the ones who opened the way. Same with the movies. Like The Matrix was one of those films that it just opened another dimension of movies. And so many people caught that. And now they've made all their movies based on that inspiration. You know, so, you know, and I always look at those things and I say, but yeah, there must really be something here. But it's darkness. Like I said, this brother told me, no, brother, you should watch it. Wow, it's really powerful. Brother, you know it yourself. the prophet, whoever it is somebody smoking a cigarette. You know what I mean? Hey, you just see, this is the most weird, it's like a nightmare sort of a movie thing. And the way that they, you know, they can stretch the people and the motion and all that. But brother, it's a huge fool, the Matrix. I mean, it's just absolutely such a phenomenon for the effect it had on society. And that's how all of us know, no. And when you trace it back to this guy Morrison, and you see the dimensions he was playing with, then channeling that inspiration into the Matrix, you'll understand, okay, that's why it could hit a higher height than some of these other movies. Other movies had better effects. Other movies maybe had better actors. But this one hit something in society. And I want to say that's interesting to study it a little bit to find out, but why? Who's behind this? Like Brother Greg said, you'll always find there's somebody there who is very committed to the darkness, you know. And there's someone behind when those things become successful, someone was willing to pay the price, you know, to get that real anointing upon them and follow that anointing to the end. So yes, brother, thanks very much. Brother Faithful asked a good question about for Christians in the realm, like the creative fields, like arts or science, etc., can we be inspired by God to invent things in those domains? Absolutely. I mean, you go back through time, go back and have a look at Isaac Newton and the ones down through the ages. Some of the greatest scientists were Christians, you know, who found really good things. And you find Brother Ram saying about even about the realm of medicine, saying the Salk vaccine, a Christian man, when people were praying for a cure to whatever it was, smallpox, whatever. And then the Lord inspired a Christian man to find the cure. You know, so absolutely, bro. You go and take Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They understood science. Remember it says, Nebuchadnezzar said, choose the young men from among these people of Judah, those that understand science. But they wouldn't compromise. That was the good thing about it. Now they used their talents and the Lord inspired them and they became greater than the wise men of Babylon without compromise. And absolutely, bro, you can be inspired. The Lord can bless you and inspire you in your realm. But it's just, I think it's just getting a little bit more and more difficult as time goes by. Because this darkness is pressing and becoming ever so, you know, so pervasive. But yes, bro, absolutely. The Lord didn't make a mistake putting you in the field that you are. He wants a witness everywhere. He wants to have a genuine witness. When there was the temple in the days of Jesus, all the priesthood was getting away from God. God had a Simeon. He had an example, a witness, someone that he could still put his hand upon even in dark times. So absolutely, bro, may the Lord bless you in your field of work. Sister Grace, God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor. God bless you.
God bless. How are you keeping?
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said just now as well, because I work in art and often like writing children's books and stuff, and it's just mad, like the amount of like trash that's in general. It's just trash, to be honest with you. That's in children's books and young people's like comic books and stuff like that. It's just trash, but. Yeah, it's just praying that God will keep us in the right inspiration, because I'm just like starting out in this field, but it's just like writing stuff and illustrating stuff and creating content that is that stands against that, and then praying that God will bless it as well, that God will bless you. The enemy's going to be against you writing anything that's wholesome content that doesn't like flow with the trend of all the like general trash that people are just, that's being pumped into young people, to be honest with you, just the start of mindset, especially like with gender and all that, and like sexuality. It's just like everything that you look at is just pumping people that way. And especially, I thank God that I never got into Marvel and all that superhero stuff, because it, like, even looking at the posters and stuff, it always gives you a bad feeling, even when you're like,
it does.
I think it's just the inspiration of coming out of like a Christian home, even if you were sort of like walking in a slightly different way, just the anointing that's on you is contradictory to the anointing that's on the rest of the world to people that are sort of unprotected. So even in high school and stuff, we never got into like Marvel and stuff, because the inspiration behind it, even looking at it, just creeps you out, to be honest. Like you said, it really does. So I thank God that now, being saved and then finding myself working in art and in children's books and young people's books, the thing that is like just not compromising, and then standing and praying over everything that you did and praying for the right inspiration and the right leadership is really, really important. Yeah, so it's interesting.
Amen, sister. That absolutely, sister. I think the key is, like with Daniel, is when the dividing line comes to purpose inside of yourself, I'm not going to defile myself with the things of Babylon. You know, I think there's a certain line, and you're always praying for that grace in those kind of fields, that, you know, that dividing line doesn't press up on you too quickly, where you have to say, look, no, I can't do this or whatever. Now, that's an individual thing. It really needs the grace of God. I knew a girl back home in Zimbabwe, and she was a Christian, and she went to journalism. She went to do journalism. And the very first thing she was told when she went to university was, oh, you're a Christian. At the end of this course, either you won't be a journalist or you won't be a Christian, because you can't be both. You know, so I always laughed about that. I said, wow, that's difficult. Unless you go and work for a Christian publication, I suppose, a Christian newspaper or a Christian news media outlet, you know. But you can just see that, yes, it's pressing in certain sectors that it becomes more and more difficult to. I watched something on YouTube with this one Hollywood guy. He's a Christian guy, but he left Hollywood some years back, and they asked him why. They said, you can't be an openly Christian person in Hollywood and get a job. The only way you can get a job in a film, a role, is you've got to hide your Christianity. The moment you say you're a Christian, you just can't work in Hollywood anymore. You know, so you can see where it's getting to. As we're coming to the end, to a climax, as the darkness spreads further and further, you know, we do become like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We become the oddballs. You know, we become the strange ones in society. And may the Lord grant us grace and just give us wisdom. He knows what we can bear. He'll never put upon us more than we're able to bear. So, you know, the Lord will keep you there as much as he wants you to be there. And may the Lord bless you there. But yes, thank you for your contribution. It's true. There's a lot of just filthy things, just insane things coming out these days. No matter which industry that you look at, you say, wow. Anybody else before we finish there? Okay, Saints, I think let's leave it there then. Thank you very much for your attention, for your time today. May the Lord richly bless each and every one. If you've got any questions, anything you'd like to look at down this topic, it would really help me as well as we look forward. You know, if you can send it on WhatsApp or email or text message, whatever, or if you know somebody, if you're not in our church, if you know somebody in church, send it through them. It would really help me a lot to see which direction people would like to go, because this obviously branches off into a lot of different directions. Now, so you could take it into one of any different things. But the important thing we would like to do is to try to answer the questions or address the issues that people find relevant, you know, because we can speak a lot of theory, but may the Lord help us to really find that something which is relevant to the lives of the saints. So let's pray once more. Brother George, you pray for us, please, brother, as we close. And God bless you, saints.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Again, Lord, Father, that we in the Christian realm, we have our portals. Thou hast opened unto us, O God. And tonight, Lord, we believe the portals of heaven have been opened unto us, O God. Father, how, Lord, these warning and alarm bells have been presented unto us, O God. We thank you, Lord, Father, for wisdom. We thank you for your grace. For, Lord, to put these things together, Lord, Father, takes time and inspiration, O God. Bless, Lord, our pastor, granting grace, granting unction, Lord, as we go through this series, O God. Lord, may we equip ourselves, Father, with the tools to avoid, Father, the various places that suck us in. Amen. Like, Lord, Father, O God, holes, Lord, they pull us in there, Lord. There's the Facebooks and there's the WhatsApps and there's all the social media that's out there, Lord, that is just there to snare us, to trap us, Father, Lord, and pull us away from, Lord, the great inspiration of God. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness. Bless us as we part. May we ponder even upon these things, O God. Father, for Lord, yes, this, Lord, Father, web, Lord, Father, on one hand can be a blessing, but on another greater hand, it can be a serious curse.
Yes, Lord.
We ask your grace. Help us, Lord, Father, Lord, to be wise, Lord, and Lord, Father, to think before, Lord, Father, we do the many things that we do, O God. Father, to Lord, Savior, really, Lord, pray about a lot of these things, O God, for Lord, it's just darkness on all hand, O God. We thank you, Lord, Father, that we're living in another realm. And Lord, Father, you've sent us a message, a prophet. Father, to pull us out of these dark portals, oh God. We thank you. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness. We see our pastor was showing us, Lord. Father, even this man, Grant Morrison, and Lord, how they got their inspiration from Crowley, Lord. These demons that are pressing into the hearts of men. Lord, just going to see a movie, Lord. Father, and such demonic, Lord, oppression overtakes people, Lord. Even these stars that play these matrix, the things they suffer years after, Lord. Father, we see it's just evil on end, Lord. We ask your grace. Keep us, guide us as we part with us, oh God. Lord, we wait with excitement for our next session. Give us your grace and help us to even ponder and study these things that we, Lord, flee from, Lord, the evil that is here, Lord. We ask and we thank you. Bless or keep us now. In Jesus' holy and wondrous name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, saints. May the Lord richly bless each and every one. Have a wonderful time until next week. God bless you, Brother Faithful. Thank you, Brother.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you all. God bless you, saints.
Roseanne.
Amen. God bless Sister Roseanne. God bless you richly. Amen. Okay. See you soon. We're coming in August. We'll see you. We're coming to Durban.
I love that.
We're coming to Durban on the weekend. I think it's the 20th, 21st of August. We're going to do some meetings there for some brothers down there. One brother invited us to come. So we'll be in your area. So we'll be in touch. We'll come and pay you a visit.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Keep the braai ready. Yeah? We want to call it a braai. Yeah, I'm tired of saying barbecue. I wanted to say braai.
The braai. The
biltong
and the
burubos.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Right, George makes biltong and burubos. Yeah? Yeah.
We call it vulovos in Ireland.
Vulovos.
As long as it tastes the same, that's fine.
Yeah, so keep us in prayer for that one. We booked the tickets this week, so it's all confirmed. So we'll be in Johannesburg.
That's wonderful.
Then we'll be in Durban. Then we'll finish up in Cape Town. And then we're coming for a wedding in Johannesburg, in Pretoria.
Okay.
So then the following weekend we'll come to Durban, and then the following weekend we'll be in Cape Town. So,
good. And who are you going to do working with in Durban?
Well, there's a brother from Margate. There's a minister.
Yeah.
And he phoned me this week to say, I understand you're coming to South Africa. He says we'll get quite a lot of the different groups together, churches in Durban.
Super.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot of pressure. Indeed, it is. But we'll see how we get on. It'll be nice. But we'll definitely come and see you. It'll be great.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, either or, if you're busy, I can come down to you, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Guys. God bless. Have a good week.
Farewell.
Bye. Wonderful weekend.